Heavenly Father, your word indeed is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That means that wherever we walk, if we will use your word to illuminate our path, we'll never have to worry about stumbling and failing and falling. Your word contains the truth that makes us free, and whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I pray for everyone that has the opportunity to listen to this message today that they will be totally and completely liberated in spirit, soul, and body by your Holy Spirit, that they can walk in freedom in their finances, in their relationships, in their health, in every area of their lives. Because Jesus, we thank you that your word declares, as you are, so are we in this world. And we want to walk in all the benefits that you died and rose to provide for us. So we thank you for confirming your word today with signs and wonders. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 19 to the end of the chapter, verse 34, and then just go back and make a few comments on it. But I want to tell you something before I do. This passage of Scripture is very near to my heart, and because this was a passage, the latter part of this passage is what God spoke to me back in 1977 when He was dealing with me about going into full-time ministry. And my argument with the Lord was, at that time, I was working for Lockheed Georgia Aircraft Company, and I had a very good job with very good benefits. I was single. I had no responsibilities. I had plenty of money. I could pretty much come and do what I wanted to do. And yet, in my heart of hearts, I felt the Lord drawing me to take a step of faith and trust Him to provide for me and take care of me, and that He would not fail me. But you know, as a young Christian, as a young believer, I'm thinking, well, who's going to pay my bills? Who's going to pay my rent? Who's going to make my car payment? Who's going to take care of my insurance? Who's going to do this and do that? And your mind thinks of all kinds of reasons to argue with God when God's dealing with you to do something. How many of you know that God will never give you something possible to do? Amen. Did you hear what I said? I said, God's not going to give you something that's possible to do, because then you could do it. And if you could do it, then you can take the credit for it. What God's going to do is ask you to do something impossible so that you could say, I can't do this, just like Moses. Amen? God said, Moses, go down there, talk to Pharaoh, get my people out of Egypt. What? I ain't going to do it. I can't do it. I can't talk, blah, blah, blah. He gives all the excuses. God says, go, and I will perform the miracles. We see, that's it with every one of us. God won't give us something possible. He'll give us something impossible so that we have to trust in Him completely, so that when it happens, He will get the glory and there'll be no confusion about whatsoever what happened. Amen? Amen. Moses couldn't take any credit for those miracles. He knew it was God, and the people knew that it was God. And in your life, you're listening to me right now, God's dealing with every one of you right now as you listen to me, either here in this congregation or wherever you're at in the world listening to this right now. God is dealing with you to get out of your comfort zone and take a step of faith into an area that you've never walked before, and it's called the walk of faith, walking by faith and not by sight. God has incredible things in store for every one of you, and I'm telling you right now, not one of you listening to me right now does not have a divine destiny that God planned and prepared before you were ever born. But very few people actually step into that destiny and fulfill it because they walk in fear and doubt and unbelief instead of walking by faith. If you'll begin to walk by faith, I don't care where you're at in your walk right now. Maybe you just became a Christian. Maybe you're not even fully persuaded that you are a Christian yet. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you haven't obeyed God. I'm telling you what, God can catch you up. God can give you a second chance, third chance, fourth chance. God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. To say I'm not going to forsake you, it means that I'm going to stick with you no matter what happens, and we're going to go through this together, and we're going to do it, and we're going to make it. Amen? So I want you to know there's someone right now that loves you, that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, and He's going to see to it that you succeed. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. John the Apostle said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith is in the finished work of Jesus. Jesus has already done everything. When He died on the cross, He said, it is finished. Amen? So it is finished. All you have to do is rest in Him, worship and praise Him, cooperate with Him, and see what He can do through you if you'll just yield yourself to Him. It's not your responsibility, it's your response to His ability. Amen? You need to understand that. God's not looking for ability, He's looking for availability. He wants you to show up. Amen? So that He can use you. Romans 12 says that we should present our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. It's only reasonable, amen, that we give ourselves to Him in worship and praise so that He can use us. I mean, He gave Himself for us. Why should we not give ourselves to Him? And as we give ourselves to Him and we become vessels of righteousness and holiness and purity and truth, as we begin to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ that He called us to be, the light of the world and the salt of the earth, we can't help but have a full church, because people are going to see the difference in us and wonder where it came from, how we got it. And we can say, come to church with me and hear the Word of God and sit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and receive the blessing of the Lord that makes you truly rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Can I hear an amen? Praise God. God loves you, and God is not finished with you yet. Look at somebody and tell them, God's not finished with you yet. Matthew 6:19 says, and I'm reading from the King James Version today, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Verse 19 tells us to lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. This verse is talking about stewardship. God entrusts things to us. Amen? He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. These verses was something that God put on my heart last week to share with the congregation that I preached at in West Virginia concerning their finances. This church is about to embark on some projects that's going to take a good bit of money to do. And yet at the same time, if you look at the size of the congregation, you would see that it looks, or it would appears like, that it's going to be a real stretch of faith, a real challenge for that amount of people to raise that amount of money to do what needs to be done. You know something? There is not a money problem in this world. Well, only Bob agrees with me, but anyway, there is not a money problem. There's not a shortage of money in this world. You know what? That God's resources, right now, I don't know how many people on the planet, some, one of you people that are more brainy than me, what's the population of the earth right now? About 5.5 billion people? About 5.5 billion people? Do you realize that if God wanted to, He could make all 5.5 billion people billionaires overnight, and it wouldn't even scratch the surface of his reserves. Do you realize that? You realize that? And that God is our source. In fact, God tells us in his word, if we ask anything in his name, he'll do it. And one translation, God says, ask me for anything, and if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. Isn't that something? That's the heart of our Heavenly Father. I want you to know that God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to succeed. But you know what? No man, as he said, can serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon means money. And I want to tell you what, our money says in God we trust, but I wonder how true that is. Because if you stop to think about it right now, with the economic meltdown, people are holding on to their money tighter than they ever have before. People are worried about their IRAs, their 401ks, their insurance programs, this and that and the other. And it's almost like faith has just gone out the window. I mean, they forgot about making God their source, and they're thinking, what am I going to do? And I challenged this congregation. I said, you know what? Stop and think about it. Are you trusting in your money or are you trusting in God? Because God, if he is your source, you'll never do without. But you could lose your job or your bank could fail and you could lose your savings or your IRA, or there's all kinds of ways that people can lose money. And listen, you've got money right now. Some of you are old enough that you're about ready to retire, and you're concerned because you don't think you have enough for retirement. But what happened is you have laid your treasure up here on earth. You've put your treasure up here in earth, and you're beginning to see that moth and rust are beginning to corrupt and thieves are breaking in and stealing it. Whereas God says, if you will put your money, your treasure in heaven, that moth and rust cannot corrupt it and thieves cannot break in to steal. And people say, but how do I put my money in heaven? Listen to me very carefully, because this applied to that congregation, but it applies to every one of us too. Let's say that you are reaching the point in life where you know that you don't have much time left and you're about ready to go home to be with the Lord. And let's just say, I'm using a hypothetical situation here. Let's say that you've been able to save $1 million and you've got it in the bank and you're saying, well, I'm not going to spend this money. I don't have enough time left, but I'm going to give it to my family. And nothing wrong with leaving an inheritance to your children or your grandchildren or whatever, but let me give you a consideration here. If you take that money and you give it to your family, first of all, if they are in dire need and they really need it, that's one thing. But a lot of families are already well off, and they don't need, I mean, when I talk about need, I mean they're not desperate for it. They can get by without it. But if you give them that money, they go, oh, good, we can buy a new car, and we can add a room onto the house, and we can buy more property, and we can do this and do that. And the money that you saved and you gave to them as an inheritance, it can be a good thing, but how much more could it do if you said, you know what, I'm just going to invest it in the kingdom of God. I'm going to give it. I know a couple weeks ago, Lisa shared a testimony of about a guy named Poor Bob. He died and he left the church $1 million or whatever. Well, you know, that might sound like a far-fetched thing, but let's not even talk about dying and leaving behind. Let's talk about how much money do you have in your retirement fund? How much money do you have in your savings account? How much money do you have invested in stocks and bonds and stuff that's just laying there, gathering just a little bit of interest each month or each year or whatever, when God already promises that when we give to Him, He'll give back 30, 60, and 100-fold. If we're going to believe God for the salvation of our souls, certainly we can believe Him and trust Him to handle our money. Amen? And I believe that right now, I say this, we are, right now, we appear to be a small congregation. But this thing is happening all over the country. I've talked to pastors of mega churches. I mean churches of 10,000 and above in membership. And a lot of them have had to close down some facilities and close down their programs simply because people have stopped giving, and that's because of fear. I'm telling you, when things get difficult, that's the time you should be giving more instead of giving less, because we need a harvest, amen? And to get a harvest, you've got to sow a seed. And so your income is your seed bed. That's not your source. What you make each week or what you make each month, that's not your source. That's your seed bed. Out of that seed bed, you decide to take either 10% or 20% or 50% or however much, or what you've got in savings, and you say, you know what? I'm going to take a big hunk of this and I'm going to give it to the kingdom of God. I'm going to invest it in the kingdom of God. Now, if you believe the word of God, you've got to believe that he says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly, but if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Don't get into these mind games of, well, I don't think the church deserves that, or I don't think they can handle it, or I don't think they can need it, or I don't trust this one. Trust Jesus. Trust the Lord. Trust him, because he's going to bless you for your faithfulness and your generosity. If you sow bountifully, he said, you will reap bountifully. And I believe God's calling on people. I don't care how much you have. It's not so much in how much you give as it is in how much you have left over after you give. Are you listening to me? Jesus made it very clear that he stood by the treasury and watched as people came by and put their money in. He was watching, just like he's still watching today. He's watching what you're giving. And he watched, and then this widow came up, and she threw in 2 pence, which is about 2 pennies in our economy. And Jesus turned to his disciples, and he said, you see what she did? Yeah, 2 pennies, big deal. Oh, she's given more than all the rest of them. How can that be? It's only 2 pennies. Well, the rest of them gave out of their abundance. They could afford to give. It was no big deal for them. They just gave a little. But what she gave was everything she had. Now, everything she had wasn't much, but she was willing to let go of it and let go of it. What she was saying is, I'm putting my full trust in God. I can't do much with these 2 pence. I might as well give them to God because they're not going to help me much. So I'll just give them to God. What he's saying is we need to abandon ourselves to God and make him our source and realize that what we have as our little treasure might be our little nest egg, our little retirement, our little IRA, our little savings account or whatever. We put it aside and we're thinking, well, maybe I can take a vacation. Maybe I can buy a new car. Maybe I can do this or do that. Do you realize that people could literally go to heaven because of your generation, your generosity, by giving that, by sowing that? And you're not going to lose anything, because whatever you give to the Lord, he's going to give it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He's going to cause men to give into your bosom. And another thing it does, it breaks you out of that mold of fear. It makes you say, you know what? This is not my source. God is my source. And God is going to take care of me, and I'm not going to worry about it. But I tell you what, if every Christian in every church would at least tithe, if every single one of you in this congregation would tithe consistently and regularly, we wouldn't have financial pressure that we have. But you know what? The average church across the United States, 20% of believers tithe their income and 80% don't. That means that 20% of the people in a church is carrying the financial load, while 80% are not doing their part. And that 80% could be a blessing and could be greatly blessed, but they make all kinds of excuses. Well, you don't understand. I don't have enough. I've got these bills. The reason you've got those bills is because you haven't honored God. And you're afraid to take that step of faith. Or you're selfish, or you're stingy, whatever the case may be. You need to get out of that and let God bless you. I'm not saying this to rebuke you, to make you feel bad. I'm trying to wake you up and say, God wants to bless you. Hello? Wake up and let go of that little bit of money so God can do something with it. Now, he also says, don't lay up for yourselves your treasure on earth, where it will get rusty and moth-eaten and thieves will break in to steal. But he said, put your treasure in heaven. That's how you do it, is by giving it to God. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know why a lot of people's heart is not in church? Because they haven't put any treasure in church. Your heart will follow your treasure. I tell you right now, you take $20,000, buy a new bass boat, you're going to be out on Clinton Lake fishing this afternoon. You're not going to be thinking about church. You know why? Because your heart's out there on that lake. Why is your heart out there on that lake? Because you put your treasure out there on that lake. That's why. Amen? You've invested your treasure in something, and your heart followed it. Now, if you'd take that same mentality and say, you know what, I'm going to take that $20,000, and I'm going to give it to the church.
I'll guarantee you, you'll be here next Sunday because you want to see what the church did with your $20,000. You're going to at least show up and say, I gave $20,000. Hallelujah. Well, where your treasure is, Jesus said, there your heart will be also. He said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What he's talking about here is to be single-minded, having one purpose in life. Remember that movie, City Slickers? Was it Curly? The guy says, one thing, just do one thing. You know? Well, we got to have one purpose in life. As a believer, the one thing that we should be concerned about is Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. Everything that we do should be focused around bringing people into the kingdom of God. Because I'll tell you what, Bob and I were talking downstairs when we were making coffee this morning, and he was talking about the mark of the beast and 666 and barcodes and all this kind of stuff. But the point Bob was making is we are living in the last of the last days. We don't have a lot of time left. I was listening to Pastor Prince talk on his TV program Sunday afternoon, or Sunday evening when I was in Pennsylvania, and he said in Israel, there's a particular kind of a buzzard that it's a very large buzzard, and it's a meat-eating, you know, it eats dead flesh and stuff like that. That's what a buzzard does. An eagle flies around and looks for something alive to eat. A buzzard flies around and looks for something dead to eat. Amen. That's the difference between an eagle and a buzzard. But he said these buzzards are really big. But he said a phenomenon has taken place out in the region around Israel called Megiddo. Now, does that ring a bell with anybody what Megiddo is? Megiddo is the great plain where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. And if you read in the book of Revelation, it says that the day will come when that battle will be at Megiddo. It will be over the city of Jerusalem, and the armies of the north, which would be China and Russia, will come down, and there will be thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands of soldiers will come. And he said the blood will be up to the horses' bridles. That's how deep the blood flow will be in that valley. And there will be such a multitude of dead flesh there. And the scripture says, and the buzzards will eat them, will eat the dead flesh. And Pastor Prince said, a phenomenon has taken place in the last between 5 and 10 years, that for hundreds and hundreds of years, these buzzards have lived in that particular area. They're unique to that area. But what's happened is their population has doubled, tripled, and quadrupled just in the last few years. After all these years staying about the same, all of a sudden it's gotten double, triple, and quadruple. Why is that? Because they're preparing for a feast. They're preparing for a feast. That tells me that's one of the natural signs, and there are many more, and there are many more prophetic fulfillments, but we're on God's timetable now, and things are about to wrap up soon. We don't have a lot of time. So we can't afford to be stingy and selfish. We need to be like God, our Heavenly Father, and be givers. For God so loved the world that He gave. Jesus gave His life. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us healing. Everything that we get from God is a gift, and He gives. But He wants us to have His nature. He wants us to give. He wants us not to trust in things or people, but to trust in Him. Because He'll not fail us and He'll not forsake us. And so he said we need to be single-minded. We need to have a single purpose. And that's bringing people into the kingdom of God. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What does it mean to have an evil eye? It means to basically have double vision, or more than one vision, or more than one purpose. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It means that we need to focus and have one purpose in life, and that doesn't mean that all of us are going to be preachers, but in a sense we all are. What I'm saying is not everybody's going to be in the fivefold ministry, be an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. But all of us are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. So I don't care if you're a truck driver, a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, if you collect garbage, you work in the factory, whatever your call or station in life is, you're there doing work, but you're doing it as unto the Lord, and you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ right there where you're at. So let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.
in. Let the light and the love of Christ flow through you. And let's get hold of our mouth, our tongue, and stop being like the world and just talking negative and murmuring and complaining and criticizing and judging. And let's let the high praises of God be in our mouth. Amen. Let's let the praises of God constantly be in our mouth. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Paul said to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You say, I don't feel like it, and you don't know my circumstances. I'm not insensitive to you, but I'm going to tell you very politely, I don't care how you feel. I don't care what your circumstances are. What I care about is, will you obey God? Because if you will, you'll get God's results. Stop making excuses for yourself and get off your lazy, blessed assurance and start doing something that will produce fruit for the kingdom of God. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. And I know deep in your heart you want to be used of God. But I'll tell you what, the next verse said, no man. Look at somebody and say, no man. No man can serve two masters. In other words, Jesus wants to be the master of your life so that he can bless you. But if you let somebody or something or money control you, then you're either going to hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't serve both. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind. Like Joshua, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. The Lord is my source. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. My God supplies all my needs through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is the strength of my life. He is my shield and my buckler, my high tower. The name of the Lord is a high tower, a strong tower. The righteous shall run into it and find strength. Amen. Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Means don't worry about it. Look at somebody, smile and say, chill. Amen. Take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Some of you are shopaholics. You can't wait to get out there and buy more clothes, buy more shoes. You got more now than you know what to do with. Your closets are stuffed full. You got garbage bags full of clothes, and you're trying to move them out to make room for new ones that you're trying to buy. You've got clothes that still have the tags on them. You haven't even worn them yet, and you're still looking for something new to buy. You find some kind of security in that or something, but you know what? The Lord says, take no thought for these things. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Don't worry about it. Praise God you came into this world naked, and if Jesus tarries, you're going to go out naked too. Or at least you'll go out with one suit of clothes on in your casket. Amen. Glory to God. I don't care if they bury me naked. It really won't matter, will it? I mean, I don't want to wear a tuxedo just to have a dirt, you know, a funeral dirt thrown in my face or whatever. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's like the one guy, he said, I don't like going to church. He said, every time I go to church, they throw something at me. He said, when I was a little kid, I went and they threw water at me. That's when he got baptized. He said, then I went to church and he said, I got married and they threw rice at me. He said, so I don't want to go to church anymore. The preacher said, well, you'll probably go one more time and that's when we'll throw dirt at you. Okay. Amen. We'll bury you. Hey, we got to have more fun than that in church. Amen. Jesus said, now listen to this, because this is an illustration Jesus wants you to see. He said, behold the fowls of the air. In other words, take a good look at the birds. I've got bird feeders out in my backyard. One of the things that I really do like and appreciate is watching the colorful birds like the blue jays and the cardinals and the orioles and the different ones that have really bright feathers. They're so beautiful. They're so striking. So, and then when I go into the woods, I like to see these red-headed woodpeckers and stuff like that. I like to see the colorful things because God created the beauty of these birds. And he said, consider them. Now watch what he says. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. In other words, birds aren't farmers. Amen. Neither do they reap. In other words, they don't plant a crop and reap it. Nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? He's saying, look at these beautiful birds, and they don't worry about food.
They just go out there and look around and find it. It turns up. And God says, consider them. If they don't sow and reap and gather into barns, but yet I take care of them, and you are much more precious to me than these birds, then don't you think I'll take care of you too, if you'll just trust me? You see, some of you are working yourselves to death because you think it's your responsibility to provide. No, it's your responsibility to praise God.
Amen.
To use your energy in worshiping God and praising Him and then letting Him meet your needs. Hello?
Amen.
Listen, I'm trying to be as serious as I can here. Romans 8:32 said, He that spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? God wants to pay your rent. God wants to pay your insurance. God wants to pay off your car, your student loan. He wants to do these things for you. But you've got to stop stressing out and thinking, how can I do this? I got to get a second job. I got to get a third job. I got to. It's all about you, isn't it? When we're singing that song, it's all about you. We should be saying, it's all about me. It's all about me. Because that's the way we live our life. It's all about me. It's all about us. No, it should be all about Jesus. As we look to Him as the author and the finisher of our faith, He'll take care of us. He'll meet our needs. He'll bless us. Are you listening to me? Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. God don't want you to be sorrowful. He wants to bless you abundantly, but you got to cooperate with Him. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, worry's not going to make you grow. If anything, it'll make you shrink. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Next time you have an opportunity, I want you to do something. Next time you're near a pretty flower, whether it's a rose or a daisy or anything like that, take a flower, pluck a petal off of it, get a magnifying glass, and look at it really close. And look at the intricacy of the weaving of the petals on that flower and see God created. It's such a beautiful thing that Jesus uses this illustration in verse 29. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now Jesus used Solomon for a reason because he was the wealthiest man that ever lived and ever will live on this planet. Nobody's wealth ever came close to touching what Solomon had. We're talking about billionaires here. He was a multi-trillionaire, and he couldn't even record his wealth. That's how it says when he was the king, they threw silver in the streets because silver wasn't worth anything. Everything he had was gold, solid gold. God blessed him. And so he had the best of everything, the finest of everything. And God says, consider, look at one of these flowers. They don't spin and toil. And yet Solomon, in the very best that man could possibly manufacture, doesn't even come close to the beauty of one of these little flower petals. Now think about that. He said, why are you worrying about what you eat or what you wear? Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He's saying, if you'll only trust me, I'll give you the best clothes there is to wear out there. He said, these flowers are beautiful, but they come and go every day. They bloom, they blossom, and then they die. God created this beauty just to behold for a few hours. Then He makes new ones. And He says, if God will do that for the flowers, just think how much more He'll do for you because He loves you. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying. Our focus is on the wrong thing. And the devil is stealing our joy and stealing our peace by having us to focus on the wrong things. Our focus should be on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, that means no anxious thought, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Gentiles is just talking about people who do not have a relationship with God, who are not in covenant with God. Jesus was talking to the Jews at that time, and everybody who was not a Jew was a Gentile. But he knew that the Jewish audience realized that through Abraham, they had a blood covenant of circumcision with Almighty God, and God would take care of them. Even the children of Israel, when they were rebellious against God and sinful, he still met their needs in the wilderness. He gave them water from a rock. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years, and they had manna from heaven. Even in their disobedience, God still kept his word and took care of his children. How much more you who are living under the new covenant, a better covenant based upon better promises and a better sacrifice. Jesus wants to take care of you. Get your eyes off of your problem and get your eyes back on Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? What you eat, what you drink, what you wear, where you live, all the things that you work so hard to earn, and it's killing you. It's wearing you out. And the Lord says, if you'll just seek me first and my kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God. Now watch this, and his righteousness. Now you know what righteousness is. It means a right relationship with God, being right with God. And there's only one way to be right with God, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus makes you righteous, makes you right with God. So don't go about trying to establish your own righteousness by good works or keeping the law, because you're wasting your time. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness means seek first the kingdom of God and seek Jesus. Because Jesus is the righteousness of God. He is the end of the law to everyone that will believe. So seek first, first. Look at somebody say, first. You know what that means? It means first. Number one, seek first the kingdom of God and Jesus. And then all of these things will be added to you. God will take care of your food, your clothing. Amen. Amen. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear. And this is the message he's trying to get across to you. And that's what he did for me when he called me into the ministry. When I argued, God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? He used this passage of Scripture, and he spoke to my heart. And he said, if you'll seek me first in my kingdom, my righteousness, then everything you need is going to be added to you. And I can tell you right now, for the last 35 years, I've had everything I've ever needed in this life. Materially, God has met my needs. Now, I'm telling you right now that there is a challenge right now, not just to me, but to all true believers and those who are called into ministry, because the enemy is unleashing everything he can against us. But what's really great is the fact that we know that we've already won. I don't have to fight the devil. I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. I already have the victory in Jesus Christ. He already won. Satan just has to be put in his place. And so we're not going to let ourselves get discouraged by low finances and low attendance in the church. But what I am going to do, I'm going to stand up here and be a cheerleader for Jesus, and I'm going to get in your face and tell you what you need to do to make it right. Every single one of you need to be tithing and giving, and maybe you need to break out your IRA, your retirement account, your inheritance, and say, I'm going to invest it in the kingdom of God. Because I'm telling you what, right now, if you do that, you won't lack for anything. Whatever you give to God, he's going to give it back to you 30, 60, and 100 fold. And let God's kingdom be blessed. Let this congregation begin to breathe a little bit instead of being concerned week by week. How are we going to pay the rent? How are we going to pay the utilities? How are we going to do this? Let's stop doing that and let's start focusing on just worshiping and praising God and thanking him that he is meeting our needs. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe this with all my heart. If you don't do it, God will just raise somebody else up to do it. And you'll be the one that misses the blessing. And I believe that's the problem. So many people are sitting back waiting for somebody else to do something that nobody's doing it. Now, I want to say I am so grateful for those of you who already have this vision. You've caught the vision, and you are doing what you can. You are doing what you can. But you know what? And I'm doing what I can. But God's challenging me, do more. Let's all do more. Let's go beyond. Because really, if we believe that if we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully, then we're not going to worry about losing anything. We're not going to say, well, let's see, I could buy a new pair of shoes, or I could give it to the Lord, or I could buy a new car. You know what? Take that money, that $10,000, $20,000, you're going to buy a new car, and say, you know what? I'm going to invest it in the kingdom of God. You know what will happen? I believe with all my heart.
You'll get your new car anyway. God will give it to you. He'll bless you with a new car. And then the kingdom of God will be blessed by your generous giving. I just want to put the challenge out there to you to put God's word to work and don't live in fear. Don't live in worry. Even the prophetic word this morning was, don't let your heart be troubled and don't let it be afraid. Choose to trust in the Lord. Verse 34 says, take therefore no thought. My Bible margin says no anxious thought. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The New International Version says, each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Well, each day does have enough trouble of its own, but thank God each day His grace is sufficient for us. Amen? Father in heaven, I just thank You for encouraging us with Your Word today and encouraging each and every one of us that You are our source and that You meet all of our needs through Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank You today, Lord, that all of our bills are paid, all of our needs are met, and we have an abundant overflow. And for every person that's listening to this, whether in this congregation or wherever they may be, Lord, we put forth the challenge that they at least, at the very minimum, begin to tithe regularly. Whether they're here or not, Lord, they can bring it in or they can mail it in, but they need to be consistent in their giving. And they need to give sacrificially. They need to take that step of faith and begin to trust You and sow bountifully so that they can reap bountifully. Lord, that is just a challenge that Your Word makes to every single one of us. And Lord, we accept that challenge and we choose to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. And Father, thank You for blessing Lawrence Christian Center and causing this ministry to prosper, to succeed, and to reach out to the nations of the world. And we give You the glory and the praise. And everyone said,
amen.
And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Let's give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to celebrate communion, and I'm just going to do